Welcome to Side Podcast, episode 28. 2008 already? Since last week, everyone has been testing, but not all at the same place.
It's the last big test before the summer break, so an important one, this one.
None of the Ferrari-engined cars were at Jerez. Ferrari and Toro Rosso were at Mugello, and Spyker were at Silverstone. Spyker had Guido Vandergaard testing their B-spec car.
Yeah, they plan to introduce it in Turkey?
Yes.
They were only running in half of the track configuration, though. They kind of run like a mini circuit around Hangar Strait and Stowe in that little section. So they weren't running a full course, so I guess they were just doing like aerodynamic testing along Hangar Strait, that kind of thing. They were running a new gearbox and a new back end, I believe.
And they did 151 laps around the mini thing, though.
Yeah.
So not full distance. And Vandergaard said, we didn't have any problems at all apart from the weather.
You can't help that in England, can you?
Welcome to Britain. Meanwhile, at Jerez, De La Rosa was fastest on the first day for McLaren, and Frank was second.
Frank was there?
Yeah.
They let him in the car?
It's the first time he's driven for 2 months.
Blimey.
Apart from Goodwood, which doesn't count.
That doesn't count for nothing. How did he do?
He said, we spent much of the day running without traction control in preparation for 2008.
Ooh.
That meant the car was sliding a lot, but we put in some useful laps and found a good direction to take.
Wow. Okay.
Christian Klien was back running for Honda after his brief session with Spyker. There wasn't a single red flag for the entire session.
What, even though Red Bull were there?
Yep.
Blimey.
They were running someone called Sebastian Buemi.
Mm-hmm.
He put in enough miles to get his super license so he can replace that other bloke.
Michael Amemuller, who is currently injured, I think, isn't he? He's Red Bull's reserve driver, except at the moment, because he's injured, they haven't got one. So hopefully the FIA will give Buemi a super license and they'll at least have a third driver just in case.
BMW actually skipped the first day.
Yeah, I think a couple of the teams are getting near their track limit. You know, at the beginning of the year, they all agreed to run a certain number of miles. And I think it's probably caught a couple of people out this year. They've already run too much in the first part of the season. And so BMW elected to skip that day. And also, I think that might be the reason why Spyker were only running a half a track, just to keep their mileage limit down.
BMW did turn up on day two, but Kubica broke down.
They were the only ones, weren't they?
I believe so. It was in the first few laps and they didn't have the setup right or something.
Reliability is looking pretty good then for this test.
So far, so good. Hamilton was fastest on the second day. He was complaining of soreness of the chest. He's all bruised.
That wouldn't surprise us really, would it?
No, but he carried on, soldiered on, brave boy. Ralph was second. He was only doing electronics testing.
Okay, so he's back on the 07 spec car then.
On day three, Wirtz went fastest ahead of Kubica, which made me think that none of the top people were there.
That's a bit harsh.
But actually, they were running without traction control.
So they were in 08 test mode.
Yes, which, do you think that means that they'll be slower next year? Or is it just that they're not used to it yet?
No, you might find they're slower out of the corners. Certainly in the medium speed corners, that's going to be an issue, isn't it? Probably more slide on the car, more graining on the tyres. So, I mean, there's obviously more speed to come from them, but yeah, I suspect maybe the lap times might decrease slightly as a result of no traction control.
Also on the third day, they had some temperature issues because it suddenly got hot.
Yeah, I think that might be quite good though, because Hungary is the next race and that's due to be quite a hot race. So that might play into their favour a little bit.
And Kovalainen, he had an unscheduled engine change.
Not a good test for Renault then.
Meanwhile, in Italy, Toro Rosso were actually faster than Ferrari.
Huh?
But again, they were doing the traction control thing.
Actually, that's an awful lot of teams doing 2008 all of a sudden. Have they all just woken up to the fact they could, you know, 2008 isn't that far away? Or have they maybe all just been given their new ECU boxes for next year?
What?
Well, you know that next year the regulations change and obviously traction control is going.
Yes.
But also there's a standard ECU which is being provided by Microsoft and McLaren. And I'm wondering if maybe they've all been distributed, or at least the early parts of it, so the teams have got something to work on. How come this week everyone's decided to do exactly the same thing, yet even though there are two different test tracks in two different parts of the world?
Good question.
You're not going to answer it though, are you?
Not a clue.
Not even going to speculate. Okay, I'm going to you know, throw a caution in the wind and say I think someone's been given something for next year. Maybe something's been handed out by the FIA that no one's mentioned. I don't know. Seems a strange coincidence though.
On the first day, it was two Italians, Badoa and Liuzzi. But on the second day, speed took over from Liuzzi. And I'm not saying anything, but he was then slower.
Right. Okay, so they reverted to the 2007 car.
Yeah, it wasn't really speed's fault.
Fair enough.
And on the third day, it was Massa and speed. And He was suffering from some back pain.
Oh.
It's interesting that Speed was at the test because he just said that no amount of money would make him go back and drive for Toro Rosso again. And then 2 days later, there he was.
Yeah. Might have been maybe a bit of misunderstanding, you think? Misquotation? No.
Possibly. Maybe it was just the heat of the moment. I wrote a blog entry about the troubles going on at the moment.
And there are a lot of troubles going on at Toro Rosso at the moment, aren't there?
Clive from F1 Insight has been commenting on quite a few blogs about how unfair we're all being to Scott Speed and that he's actually doing better than Liuzzi.
I have suspicions that Clive is at Scott Speed because literally the guy is just flooding the internet with positive vibes about Scott and how great a driver he's been this year. So, you know, I have suspicions exactly who Clive is. Maybe he's his brother.
No, he has some good points though. He said, Scott has been criticised again and again by his bosses, Tost and Berger, since before the season even started, and Toro Rosso have been quite open about looking for replacements for their drivers. That is hardly the way to get the best out of your employees, and yet Liuzzi and Scott have stuck to their task and produced the goods when the car holds together. They have not said a word to the press about the way they have been treated until this latest incident, which demonstrates a lot more maturity in the drivers than their bosses.
So he likes
a good point.
Well, yeah, it is. Okay, I think, yep, fine, yep.
Given all that, though, it's still looking unlikely that Speed will be driving for them for very much longer. Toro Rosso have confirmed he'll be there in Hungary, but then we've got a 3-week break, haven't we?
Well, they've got time to kind of figure out something else, haven't they? Because at the moment, they're kind of up against it to get someone else in the car by next week. So given a 3-week break, it may not be all going Speed's way when they return.
I don't think he's a particularly bad driver, but he's not very inspiring either, really. Potential replacements for him include Vettel, Ralph, possibly, and Bourdais, who is currently leading the Champ Car Championship in America.
Well, Ralph's obviously tied up at Toyota at the moment, although there is a rumour that next year he may be available and have sponsorship, so that could be a possibility. Vettel looks like BMW don't want to let him go, so there could be a tussle over his contract for that seat. Sebastian Bourdais is doing really well in the Champ Car series in the States right now, and if he manages to wrap up the title anytime soon, there's a good chance he might be able to be in this car this year, if not next.
He was asked, does it worry you that you might be going to a team where if the team manager doesn't like you, he punches you? which is a great question, I think. He said, if they sign me, for sure it's going to have to be a constructive atmosphere, which is very diplomatic.
Right. Boxing gloves included.
I think that just means he's going to punch him back.
Fair enough.
The calendar for 2008 has just been released, the provisional calendar. It's quite interesting.
Why is that then?
Well, Australia is going to open the season,
okay.
Although we thought maybe it was going to be Bahrain.
They did say that it was going to be Bahrain, didn't they? They thought that maybe they wouldn't get the season opener next year.
But presumably the time change is still going to be in place, that it's going to be an hour and a half later.
Oh yeah, yep.
I hope so anyway. France is back on the calendar,
Ooh. Although
it doesn't say where.
No. Well, that's interesting. Do you think that's related to Bourdais maybe coming? But not having a Frenchman in the field might make the difference? Or do you think someone paid Bernie an awful lot of money? At least as much as he was asking for, if not more.
I think with Bernie, it's all about the money, isn't it?
Yeah.
Canada is only provisional.
Okay. Why do you think that is?
Maybe. Could it be because they had a big accident and they don't think it's very safe?
No, I'm sure they could probably sort that out. A bit of a bigger tyre wall, that kind of thing. I suspect it's more to do with the freight charges because up till now, Canada have been sharing the freight car charges with the US Grand Prix. And obviously, there's no US Grand Prix on the calendar next year. It means they might have to pay for everything, which probably won't go down too well.
The German Grand Prix is actually called that instead of the silly European stuff.
Yep.
But the European Grand Prix is at Valencia.
Okay.
Dependent on circuit approval as well.
I'm sure that'll be fine.
And Singapore is also dependent on circuit approval.
Fair enough. I think that the construction of the Singapore one's going quite well, and I'm sure the Valencian one won't be too difficult, so pretty much given they're both going to be okay. One thing I did notice is there's no Pacific Grand Prix. There were rumours that Suzuka might be able to make a comeback alongside Fuji for next year, and it would be called the Pacific Grand Prix. But as yet, I can't see anywhere where it would fit in. Looks like it may not happen just yet.
Well, it's not like there aren't enough of them. The calendar is so packed that it goes into November.
Blimey.
And that's the first time that's happened since 1998.
Jesus, that is a long calendar. So 18 races. Starts in March, ends in November.
Well, that's pretty much all our news for the week. Oh, yeah, except that little thing about espionage.
Oh, that little bit of news.
Yeah.
I didn't hear much about it, did you?
Not a lot, I don't think. It was quite a quiet event.
Remind me what happened.
Well, the FIA basically said McLaren were fine. No problems.
Okay.
I have an official quote, though.
Please do.
On Thursday, after their hearing, the FIA released their verdict. It read, "The World Motorsport Council is satisfied that Vodafone McLaren Mercedes was in possession of confidential Ferrari information and is therefore in breach of Article 151C of the International Sporting Code. However, there is insufficient evidence that this information was used in such a way as to interfere improperly with the World Championship. We therefore impose no penalty."
Blimey.
"But if it is found in the future that Ferrari information has been used to the detriment of the championship, we reserve the right to invite Vodafone McLaren Mercedes back in front of the World Motorsport Council, where it will face the possibility of exclusion from not only the 07 championship, but also the 08 championship." They also went on to say they're inviting Stepney and Coughlan to show up and put their side of the story across. But I think they've delegated that to the legal team.
They need to go and give their reasons why they should not be banned from international motorsport for a lengthy period. So, yeah, they might want to come up and have their say. And it would be interesting to hear Nigel Stepney's side of the story, because I heard a rumour that he might be taking the status of a whistleblower, which would give him a certain amount of immunity from prosecution if that was the case. Although, it does kind of raise questions why he didn't go to the FIA and instead went to McLaren with his information. So, yeah, that side of the story is going to be something to definitely watch out for in the future. Although they haven't given us a date for the hearing yet, have they?
No, we don't have a date. We just know that they have delegated it to the legal team, and sounds like they're not really interested.
Maybe they consider it like a minor thing, but you never know, it could hold some kind of little gems of information in there.
So McLaren are absolutely free of trouble at the moment. Ferrari were not happy about that, as you can imagine. They let out a team statement, and it said, "It therefore finds it incomprehensible that violating the fundamental principle of sporting honesty does not have as a logical and inevitable consequence the application of a sanction. Today's decision legitimises dishonest behaviour in Formula One and sets a very serious precedent." They like their big words, don't they? I don't know why they refer to themselves as "it."
No, that is kind of weird.
They also said Ferrari feels this is highly prejudicial to the credibility of the sport.
Now, the last time the FIA kind of convened for a situation like this was the BAR fuel tank saga. And at the end of hearing, the FIA announced their decision to ban the team for two races. At which point Honda released a load of press information, how much they disliked the FIA and disagreed with their decision, said they were fundamentally wrong. At which point Max Mosley plays his bringing the sport into disrepute card and then basically told him to shut up. At which point sort of Honda retracted all their statements and said, "Ah, sorry, we didn't mean to criticise the FIA's decision. We like them really. We have absolute faith in their sport and you know, and all that kind of thing." So how come Max isn't playing his bringing the sport into disrepute card after Ferrari come out with all this kind of vitriol against the FIA?
Maybe he didn't understand the big words.
I think he's that man is the master of the big words. I'm curious why Ferrari's kind of quotes aren't bringing the sport into disrepute, because basically they're saying they don't have any faith in the governing body.
McLaren, on the other hand, were quite happy about it. Their team statement read, "McLaren accepts that the FIA and World Motorsport Council had no alternative other than to find that there was a purely technical breach by reason of the possession of certain information by one individual at his home without McLaren's knowledge or authority. McLaren is delighted that the World Motorsport Council determined that this information was not used and accordingly imposed no sanction whatsoever on the team."
The PR people for the Formula One teams are certainly earning their money this week, aren't they?
Then it was Ferrari's turn to say something again, and Jean Todt, who missed the ideal opportunity to keep quiet, he said, "I wonder what would happen if the roles reversed. There would have been cries of scandal, an exemplary punishment would have been demanded, and it would have been granted, I have no doubt." I think he probably just thinks that because he's experienced it before, where that has happened.
Well, maybe he's got a chip on his shoulder. It might be just basically his general team's conduct might, you know, play against him in this kind of situation, whereas McLaren seem to have a slightly cleaner record when it comes to the FIA than say, someone like Ferrari do.
Jean Todt also said, "McLaren, during the hearing, admitted to have received secret material and that the knowledge of this operation of espionage arrived at the top level even to Ron Dennis."
Now, that's interesting, because until this point, Ron Dennis has been pretty much clear of any kind of implication in this scandal. And now here's Jean Todt suddenly pointing the finger right at him.
Yeah, Ron has been protesting his innocence all the way through. But now it says that they admitted it, and John was in there, wasn't he, so?
Yeah, well, this guy, I mean, I'll say something. It's slightly weird, Ferrari's behaviour in this, because apart from bringing the sport into disrepute and all those kind of things, they are saying an awful lot.
They don't usually talk to the media a lot. When things like this happen, they usually stay quiet.
Yeah, I mean, it was suggested in GrandPrix.com that maybe, you know, when the when the warrant was served to Mike Coughlan in the first place, that maybe what if he had a 780-page Ferrari document in his house and he was planning to take that to Honda to get a new job at Honda, maybe he might have had some McLaren material in his house at the same time, and maybe the people who picked up all these documents and returned them to Ferrari might have also picked up a bunch of McLaren information. So
Ferrari have McLaren information now?
Well, maybe. They do seem to be protesting a lot, wouldn't you say?
It seems like an awful lot of maybes.
It's all supposition, and of which no one has any evidence. But
why would they be complaining? Because if you had this stuff and you're saying, we don't think it's fair, then when you get found out, they're going to go, well, you said it wasn't fair, so we'll do the same
to
you.
Well, I just think they're complaining an awful lot. They're making a hell of a lot of noise about something, you know, a decision that's been made for them, and there's nothing they can do about it. And it just seems to be like, I don't know, it's unusual.
Trying to cover it up.
Yeah, it's unusual behaviour from them, that's all.
It's not just Ferrari who have an opinion on the subject, though. Everyone seems to be coming out with great quotes, like Flavio Briatore, who is not one to be shy about these things. He said, even though no one asked him, he said, I don't understand what happened, because to begin with, you would only gather the World Motorsport Council if you had proof. Otherwise, you avoid such a meeting. This verdict reminds me of Pontius Pilate.
Ooh.
We also have Mika Salo.
Ex-Ferrari driver.
He said, we always spied on McLaren, listening to their radio traffic. After every practice session, I had in front of me, on paper, all the discussions Mika Häkkinen had with his engineer.
Oh yeah, that's really what Ferrari wanted to be hearing on that day, wasn't it?
Well, they issued a press release on his behalf. Right. And it said, what has been published does not match my thoughts I wanted to express.
Even though it was the words that I said, in brackets. Did it say that?
No, it didn't say that.
I haven't been misquoted. That was exactly what I said to the press.
It's not what I was thinking.
It's not what I've been now told to say. So basically, okay, so that is a great quote. Do you mind if I frame that and put that on my wall?
He explained that it was when radio technology was kind of amateurish in the 90s and random conversations could be picked up.
I had in front of me, on paper, all the discussions Mika Häkkinen had with his engineer. That doesn't sound very random to me. And not after every single practice session.
I don't know what to tell you. It was not the thoughts he wanted to express.
I love this case. I love the way, everything's coming out of the woodwork in Formula One circles.
That's good, because we also have Luigi Macaluso.
Who?
Very Italian. He is the president of the FIA CLK, which is karting, I think, in Italy.
Oh, yeah.
He said, I was talking to the Italian media. I was the only one who tried to explain McLaren was guilty. For me, they are guilty, and that's that.
This guy is on the World Motorsport Council, is he?
Yes.
Right, and didn't the FIA say that it was a unanimous decision?
Their press release said, we can confirm to the world that the World Motorsport Council decision was unanimous. We can only imagine that Mr. Macaluso's comments were taken out of context. Of course they were.
That was the comment that said, I was the only one who tried to explain McLaren was guilty.
For me, they are guilty, and that's that.
How do you take that
out of context?
How do you take that out of context? Good Lord. Oh, my Lord. Okay.
And also, according to GrandPrix.com, Mr. Macaluso is friends with Enzo Ferrari's son and Ferrari's chairman, Luca Montezemolo.
They're not the same person, by the way.
No, sorry. Enzo Ferrari's son on the one hand,
yeah,
and Ferrari's chairman on the other.
Okay.
They've been friends since the 60s, and he is a self-confessed Ferrari fan. His company makes Ferrari-branded watches.
Should this man really have been sitting on this case?
Unbiased, kind of course.
He's Italian, he's called Luigi, and he makes Ferrari watches for the Ferrari Motorsport Company. If what the FIA is saying is true, and he also backed McLaren in this case, then you kind of have to say there's no argument. If this guy believes McLaren to be innocent, then surely nobody can argue with him.
Except that he doesn't. What? They're telling you it was unanimous, but it clearly wasn't.
He's confused.
But isn't Jean Todt on the council as well?
Yeah, he's not allowed. He wasn't allowed to vote in this, though, wasn't he? He was just allowed to sit in on it. I don't think he could have a say. It wouldn't be entirely fair.
But it is fair to have, you know, Ferrari's best friend.
Montezemolo's best friend.
Yeah, that is fair.
And Ferrari watchmaker. That's fine.
Okay.
No vested interest there whatsoever.
Next week is the Hungarian Grand Prix on the 5th of August at the Hungaroring. 2.722 miles, that will be 70 laps, and the previous three winners were Jenson Button. Will he do it again?
I'm backing him for the win this year.
Yeah, Kimi Raikkonen and Michael Schumacher.
In all seriousness, it's going to be a hot and dry race. Jensen hasn't really got a chance, sadly. And he kind of missed out last race, didn't he? So it would have been good if he could make amends. But never mind. Let's not dwell on that for a minute longer.
No.
It's a pain in the backside to overtake around here. So if you get a car in front of you who's on a different strategy, maybe a longer run, your race is kind of ruined. So it's all about position. It's all about qualifying positions. There's a dirty side to the track. So it's all about being on the right side of the track at the start. You can end up with a lot of teams who maybe are going to be a little bit upset with backmarkers and kind of other teams holding them up.
So keep your eyes peeled for our Hungary preview video and check back next week for full discussion.